Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your host, Dr. Cheryl Faxon. Thank you so much for joining me today for Save a Life Across the Veil, where we walk by faith and not by sight to the call, destiny, and purpose of God for our lives. In this 15-minute empowerment, you're going to be encouraged in that walk of faith, in that victory we have in Christ Jesus. Encouraged in the fact that the will of God and the word of God is going to work in your favor, and God is going to perform in you his divine will, his divine pleasure, his divine destiny in you as you submit to him. We grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and as we do, we are changed. We become all that he says that we are and what we've been called and commanded to be. We become that line upon line, precept upon precept, glory to glory, height to height, and depth to depth. And in this empowerment, you're going to know that your life matters, that your purpose matters, that your destiny matters, and the process of what you go through is to make you and shape you for the glory of God. That their place is that Abraham walk. Abraham was called to go to a their place, and God told him to go there by faith. You are going in and moving in your destiny by faith, knowing that as you go there to that place God has called you, you will always be on that their walk because God is continually making, shaping you, and designing you for his purpose until the day he cracks the sky or you go and meet him. So this place is a process, and this process is an ongoing process. God gives a season in this process, and in this process we will always learn of him, know who he is, and see the greatness of his power demonstrated in our lives. We've been studying in the book of Proverbs, looking at wisdom, and we're studying that book again, getting all that we have to get and gain from it, every nugget that we need, we're getting it. We've been studying it because the Bible lets us know in the book of beginning of Proverbs that we need to be skilled and know how to act in every situation and every circumstance. And we know that there have been times in our lives we have not acted accordingly. We have not acted skillfully in situations and solving problems and circumstances and problems that we have in marriages and in our children or business or in church. So God is giving us the wisdom to know how to act and what to do so that we'll be able to show his wisdom, show his character in every situation. So we're going back there again, and we were looking at marriage relationship yesterday. Got some wonderful nuggets in that, and we were talking about forgiveness. We left off with forgiveness, and this is something that we need to always understand, that we ourselves are never going to be perfect. We're never going to do everything right all the time. Somewhere along the lines, we're going to offend someone. Jesus even said that you know, that there's going to be offenses, and you got to get to the place where offense is not going to keep doing what you need to do. So in our lives, even in marriages, in every relationship, there will always be something that is said or done that someone will get upset about, get offended about, get hurt by, and it can be intentionally or unintentionally. It could be something so very simple as someone not being appreciated and their feelings get hurt because you don't appreciate them. And so it's small things to great things, and we need forgiveness. We have to operate in forgiveness in every relationship, in every situation. We have to operate in what we've received ourselves, which is forgiveness. And the Bible lets us know in Matthew 6 that if we don't forgive, then our sins will not be forgiven. And the Message Bible says it like this: if you don't do your part, God won't do his part. And so we want everything that God has to offer us in forgiveness and mercy and grace and compassion, and we want God's will to be done. So we have to forgive. We have to allow God to allow his forgiveness to operate in us, not ours, because ours could be limited. Ours could be with conditions. But when we operate in God's forgiveness and we really allow that to be really the meat of our heart, of our lives, then we know that the grace that we are trying to withhold from someone is not ours, and we don't have the right to withhold that grace. That's his. We don't say who gets it, who receives it, and when they get it. We're just to give it because we ourselves have received it. And when we do, God is glorified, and he's the one who handles the situation better than we can. He deals with someone's heart. He changes them. He causes them to see their faults. And when that happens, that's his business. All we do is operate and work in the forgiveness that God has afforded us, and we now give to someone else. Forgiveness is something that is necessary definitely in a marriage. There will be seasons that you will go through that you're going to need that forgiveness, that mercy, and that grace. You're going to need it. and when there are things that are being done that are out of your control and that you yourself are saying, God, I need your help, he's allowed us tools. And these tools could be through counseling through our pastors or counseling through a marriage counselor or an advisor. If it's finances that is the biggest thing, then we need to take the steps to get the tools to fix that problem or to recognize that there is a problem, how we can fix it, how we can see what we haven't seen before. But mainly we have got to have the forgiveness there. Now, hurt and forgiveness are two different things. You can hurt me and I can forgive you, but the pain of that thing has to heal. That doesn't mean I'm harboring something in my heart. Doesn't mean that I haven't released you. I have forgiven you. I'm now dealing with the pain. It's like this. If you go outside and you injure yourself really, really bad, you are going to have pain, and it's going to hurt for a few days. But in that process, as it heals, you don't go back and scream and holler when that pain is the soreness, the wound itself has been healed. You might see the scar of it, but you don't go back every time you look at it and scream and holler because the pain of it is gone. So it is when there's a deep hurt, when trust has been broken. You have to have time to heal the place of the wound, but it does not mean that you haven't forgiven. If you know you've released the person and you've forgiven them, but you still have the pain of the injury, God will take away the pain, and time will heal that. Now, time is not 10 years, 5 years, 3 years, 2 years. It is not that type of pain. And I'm not talking about a grief as like a death. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about where there's been an injury with trust being broken, with words. The pain of that thing, I forgive you, but the pain of that has to be healed. And that takes time. And time could be 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month, depending on the depth of that wound. But as long as you have applied forgiveness there and you're asking God to heal the place of your emotions, then that can happen. That manifestation of healing can happen. And you can move on, but this time with knowledge, this time with understanding, this time with communication, this time setting boundaries for someone not to cross, holding them accountable so that trust can be earned again. It's the same thing with a child. If a child goes out and does something wrong, you forgive the child, but you don't trust the child in that area until they earn that trust again. And that doesn't mean holding them in bondage or in a place where they cannot thrive or feel terrible for months. No, it means that I've got to try your trust, and what you tell me, I'm going to check it out. I'm going to make sure you're there where you said you were. I'm going to make sure it's the same people that you said it was going to be there. I'm going to make sure. And that's the same thing in a marriage where there's been a violation of trust and there's been a deep hurt. You forgive, but then you have to set up these boundaries, not policing, but just making sure that this person understands you can no longer behave this way. And these are things that need to be discussed and need to be handled in the spirit of forgiveness. Now, one of the things that we have to understand is that a woman can't change her husband and a husband can't change his wife. These are things that have to happen by choice. You have to choose to do these things because everybody has a choice, and they have to choose to change, choose to do different, choose to stop something. That is a choice that they have to do. Proverbs 29:9 says, better to live on a corner of the roof than to share a house with a quarrelsome wife. One of the ways that we can separate and bring division in our marriage, women, is to be a quarrelsome wife, that nothing satisfies you, that everything is always an argument, that everything is always up to, I call it DEFCON 10. Instead of it being DEFCON 1, was everything is peaceful, you've taken it to the level where there's a civil war getting ready to happen because of your emotional state and your mouth and your actions and your attitude. There is a way to handle things, and there's a way to get the response that you need without fussing, without doing a lot of the things that women do, thinking that that is going to be what gets his attention. That draws him away, and he will do what you say just to get you quiet, but it makes him draw himself emotionally from you. It makes him not respect you or see you in the way that he should, and that's not what you want. Okay, so we have to learn how to speak and act and conduct ourselves in a way that draws and not pushes away. Proverbs 21:19 says, better to live in a desert than with a quarrelsome and ill-tempered wife. Okay, so Proverbs 14:26 says, he who fears the Lord has a secure fortress, and for his children it will be a refuge. This is a man who understands that wisdom and how to deal with his wife and love his wife and treat his wife, and he gets the security of what is necessary not only for him but for his children. Proverbs 20:17 says, the righteous man leads a blameless life. Blessed are his children after him. Proverbs 2:17 says, he who is left the partner of her youth and ignores the covenant she made before God. We don't want that to happen. You've got to learn how to be women, what God has called us to do. And the last scripture that I'm going to read is Proverbs 27:15-16. The quarrelsome wife is like a constant dripping on a rainy day. Lord, help us. Restrain her. Restraining her is like restraining the wind and grasping oil with a hand. These are things that we don't want to be named, mentioned, or even likened to as women. We want to be likened to something that looks like a virtuous woman. And in that virtuous woman's attitude, there is an ability to speak and know how to speak and what to do and how to do it. I'm Pastor Cheryl Thacks, and that's all the time I have today for this broadcast. We'll come back again, and we're going to talk more about marriage and get wisdom on marriage, because we want to be successful in our marriage, and it's a working progress, and it's a working of two coming together to be one in unity under the standards of God. Be blessed. Have a wonderful day. And I pray that this is blessing you and helping you in all areas of your life.